Good morning, church family. I hope you're having a wonderful snow day at home this morning. We are coming to you live from the Berg living room here to give you the announcements for what's going on this week. Trevor has been feeling a little under the weather, so he asked me to go ahead and share with you guys what's going on. So here we go. Next weekend is going to be missions weekend here at CBC. The missions committee has a very exciting week planned. On Saturday night, there will be a potluck, which will be followed by a presentation from Dr. Scott Larson, director of Straight Ahead Ministries. And on Sunday morning, we're going to have the opportunity to hear from the Van Wards, who are the missionaries that we support in Uganda. So very exciting. In preparation for the potluck, there has been a sign up, but if that's something that you're looking to do and haven't gotten the opportunity to do yet, you can contact the missions committee by emailing missions@charltonbaptist.org. Also, beginning February 3rd, and for the 6 Tuesdays following that, we are going to be hosting Roots Soccer. This is an organization that does soccer clinics. They're going to be using our gymnasium. So we're going to be hosting them and also providing refreshments for the parents. This is a really great way to connect and serve with the families in our community. So if that's something you're interested in helping with, we would love to have some more help. You can contact Matt or Beth Larkin and let them know that you're interested. There is going to be a baptism meeting on February 8th. So if you have any interest in being baptized or just learning more about it, this is not like any kind of commitment or sign up. It's just a meeting, an informational meeting. So it's going to be on February 8th, immediately after the morning worship service. So if that's something you're interested in, they're going to be right in the office wing in the main conference room downstairs. So feel free to come with your questions, any that you might have, and then they're going to try to set a date for the next baptism at that meeting. So if you're at all interested, please come to that. In a few weeks, it's that time of year again, Valentine's Day coming up. So if you weren't aware, take notice. On February 20th, we're going to be hosting a Parents Night Out event at CBC. So basically, this is free babysitting for anyone who has young children and is interested so that parents can get a well-needed break. You can do whatever you want with the time, but they've got a great night of fun planned for the kids. Pizza party at 5:30, and then some fun events, crafts. So they are still looking for some help to make this event happen. So if you do not have young children and you would like to help serve the families in our church in this way, please reach out to Aaron Kirshner at aaron@charltonbaptist.org. Otherwise, you can sign up to attend as well if you have young kids and you're looking to attend. A couple other reminders. We are still collecting funds for some of our AV upgrades. So if you're looking to donate to that, you can drop a check for that fund in the offering boxes or donate online through our website. Our lost and found box is getting a little bloated, a little over full, and they are looking to completely clean it out starting in February. So if you think that you might have an item in there, if you've been looking for a cup for a while or you've misplaced a hat, please check it out in the next couple weeks, because early February, the box is getting completely emptied. So this is last call. So check it out if you think you've lost something. And finally, our venture students, don't forget that our trip to the Intersect Youth Retreat is coming up February 20th through the 22nd. So if you want more information on that, see one of your youth leaders or Pastor Trevor. And with that, here's Pastor Matt.
Thank you, Lauren, and good morning, CBC. It's great to be with you all this morning, even though it's in this virtual space. In addition to this morning's announcements, I do just want to make you all aware that we will be posting our new opening for an administrative assistant tomorrow. So, if you have any interest in that role, I would invite you to go to charltonbaptist.org/hiring for the full job listing and application instructions. Now, this morning is going to be a little bit different than our usual Sunday. There's no live band, there's no children's church, there's a little more on each of you as you bring your families before the Lord. But we want to help you with that. In addition to this video, we also have links ready for you in the comments section that will point you toward some worship videos that our worship director, Jordan, has recommended for this morning. And all of this is just designed to give you the opportunity to come before the Lord as a family and to grow together. And I know that we would ideally love to be together this morning. Days like today are tough, but they give us the opportunity to explore worship in a different way and to really lean into how we can bring worship into the home. And I've picked out a passage this morning that will hopefully help us to do just that, because the passage leans into the idea of worship as a lifestyle, into centering our lives on God. We're going to look at a familiar passage this morning, and if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to open them up. We're going to be looking at Romans 12 together, the first couple of verses. But before we do, let's pray together. Lord, again, we are so thankful to be in your presence this morning. We're thankful for each family who has chosen to worship together in this kind of unique environment. We're thankful for the technology that you've gifted to us, and we pray that this morning we're able to use it for your glory. As we dive into our scripture this morning, as we sing songs, as families, whatever it is that we do to worship you this morning, I just pray that our worship would be not only acceptable, but would bless your heart, Lord. And I pray that you would use it to bless the lives of all those involved. Lord, again, as we come to your scriptures, may your Holy Spirit give us ears to hear, open hearts, Lord, for your word. May you just make me a mouthpiece, as always, Lord, and may it really be your word, your message for your people that shines through. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in Romans 12, the first couple of verses, Paul writes, excuse me, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So, a few years ago, I had a meeting with a group of local church elders. Actually, it's funny, it was just down the road at Oak Hill Bible Church in Oxford. The meeting was about 3 hours in length, and at the time, I was leading the leadership development department for the network of churches that we served in previously. Anyway, I gave kind of a rundown of everything my department was working on, and I fielded many, many questions and talked about all the thinking that went into a number of different decisions that we've made over the last year and all the intricacies of some of the programs we're working on, all of it. And anyway, at the end of the meeting, one of the elders came up to me and he kind of remarked to me that he was surprised because through the entire meeting, I had barely glanced at my open laptop. I was rattling off all of that information for 3 hours right off the top of my head. I hadn't even looked at my notes on my open laptop. And that's strange for me because I'm very much married to my notes, as all of you know when I'm speaking. You can tell probably a lot of the time how married I am to my notes. But it occurred to me later on, actually, after I had mentioned this to Beth, I had talked about this stuff so much and spent so much time working on all that we were talking about, all of these moving parts and plans and partnerships and strategies and whatever else. It was so ingrained in me that I found myself able to communicate about it as if it was second nature. A job that had actually once seemed foreign to me just a few years earlier had kind of become a part of me. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is what it is. And that happens when we really immerse ourselves into something. We change, we grow. Really, what happens is we transform. Now, on a much deeper and more significant level, as we truly immerse ourselves into our faith, a much more significant transformation occurs. When we bring our faith home with us, when we write the things of God on our doorpost, as we've talked about before in Deuteronomy 6, when we celebrate, when we go in and go out, when we teach our kids diligently about the things of God and talk about them at the dinner table, and when we go to bed and get up in the morning, when we truly immerse ourselves and our family into our walk of faith, inevitably, transformation will occur. These things that maybe once seemed foreign to us, become more and more a part of us. They become second nature. C.S. Lewis likened the faith of a truly immersed person, he compared the faith of a truly immersed person to someone whose faith is more casual as being similar to the difference between paint, which is merely laid on the surface, to a dye or stain, which soaks right through. It's deeper. It gets to the root of things. What we find as we walk with God closely over a period of time is that the kind of faith that God is working us into is one that completely transforms us. It becomes immersive. The Apostle Paul here in this morning's passage calls us to a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of immersion into the things of God. Much like what we read in Deuteronomy 6, it's a call to a faith that fully envelops us. He writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, in contrast to the blood sacrifices offered up to God by the Israelites under the Old Covenant, Paul brings this all about by urging his readers to offer themselves instead as a living sacrifice. That's the contrast being drawn here. The blood sacrifice that had been paid over and over again by animals under that old covenant has been paid once and for all through Jesus' blood, through his death on the cross, as he served as God's perfect lamb. Under the new covenant provided to us through Jesus, a new type of living sacrifice emerges in each one of us. And as a result, a new type of lifestyle emerges as well. A new call is placed on God's followers. It is a new thing that the Spirit is leading us into. So again, unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament, these acts of worship meant to cover up failures of God's people as they failed to live up to their covenant relationship with him, the possibility of a new and transformed life emerges because the work of Jesus on the cross and the transforming work of the Holy Spirit are once and for all. They're continual. What we find is that in Jesus, we become a new creation. And as new creations, we are called to a new kind of lifestyle, a lifestyle devoted to the worship of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is a lifestyle represented in the type of commitment that we began, that we have talked about so much through the last couple of years that I've been here. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, okay, that's great, but what does that actually look like? A new creation, that's awesome. A new lifestyle, that's great. What is that, though? What is a lifestyle that's driven by the worship of God? What does centering my family's life around the things of God actually look like in 2026? Now, I don't do this often, but if we take a look at the message, this is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible. I think he gives us a pretty good practical look at how all of these kind of things work out. Peterson, he puts it quite well for the modern day. He writes, and this is, his paraphrase of Romans 12, 1-2. He writes, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Your everyday, ordinary life," he writes. "Your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life." This is, again, like we've talked about so many times before, looking at the everyday as the mundane, that normal stuff that we and our families do. Getting up in the morning, tucking our kids in at night, going to work or going to school, having dinner, playing with our kids or our grandkids or our parents or grandparents in the yard. It's going to the grocery store. All of that just everyday stuff. Beginning to see that as sacred, placing those things, our very lives, before the Lord as our spiritual act of worship. So again, when we tuck our kids in or sit down at the dinner table, that's a discipling opportunity that's right in front of us. When we're playing basketball or playing in the school band, we're seeking to honor the Lord through sportsmanship or through how we interact with others or through the time that we and the commitment that we make to doing those things well. Those things are all part of this idea of presenting our lives as a spiritual act of worship. And as we do, what's going to happen is that we're going to see transformation take place in a number of ways. And those things that maybe once felt unnatural, through the work of the Holy Spirit, they begin to feel much more a part of who we are. They become ingrained. They become second nature. And we can see a few ways in which that happens in our passage this morning. First, what we'll find is that all of this leads us to a transformed mind. As we read on in verse 2, we find Paul instructing the Roman believers, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." You know, it's funny. I've read this passage a number of times in my life, and my mind always goes in the same weird direction. The number of different TV shows, movies, whatever else that I've watched, where brainwashing becomes the central theme. That's where my mind goes. Entire TV series have been devoted to the concept of following the life of a character who's been brainwashed and has to sort through what's real and what's not. We can all probably think of a few of those that we've watched, maybe binge-watched even recently. We seem to have a fear of losing control of our minds, and it comes through in our entertainment. And every time I read this passage, my mind kind of goes there. And every time my mind goes there, I'm incredibly off course because that's not actually what we're talking about. Transformation does not equal a complete wiping of everything we've known or who we've been and replacing it with this brand new pod person with a completely different personality and no recollection of what they once were. I'll tell you also that the kind of transformation that we're talking about is not simply reorienting ourselves from the to-do list of the unholy things we used to do and replacing it with the to-do list of all the things God wants us to do. Christian transformation is not about taking immoral behaviors and replacing them with a new list of moral behaviors. Biblical Christian transformation instead is the triumphant power of the Holy Spirit working through our faith in Jesus Christ. Biblical Christian transformation is about replacing our old, broken, incomplete selves with a new self that's been changed for the better, that's been repaired, made complete, made new through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that transformation may lead to morality, but more importantly, it leads to a new mindset, a mind that's been opened up, pointing us in the direction of all that God has created us to be. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Paul writes. God's transformation as we walk more closely with him helps us to break loose from conformity of the world to the world. It helps us to be free from mere duty-driven Christianity and helps us to do what we love to do because what we love to do is what we ought to do. It's what God has called us to do. And that brings us to what's next, because we see that this lifestyle and really our transformed mindset leads to a transformed will. In verse 2, after Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind," he follows up with that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm sure I've told this to you in the last year. In fact, I think I did maybe even just a few months ago, but I didn't really want to be a pastor. 20-year-old me didn't want to do this thing. It did not appeal to me whatsoever. It was not on my list of jobs I dreamed of when I was a kid. Among the many other concerns, I had two major ones. Again, I'm an introvert. Social interaction does not come natural to me. And number two, I actually came into ministry terrified of public speaking. And for those reasons and more, I did not want to be a pastor. And by all accounts, I probably shouldn't have been a pastor on paper, but God called me. And by the grace of God, I'm able to perform the role that he's called me to. Now, even in a role of training pastors, which was part of my thing, all that went into training pastors when I was working in leadership development, that was foreign to me too. But by the grace of God, I was able to do that thing. By the grace of God, I'm able to do this thing. This thing that I at one time thought I would never be able to do. This thing that I thought would never make me happy. Now it's something that through God's transformation in my life, I can't imagine having spent the last 20 plus years doing anything else. I can't imagine anything being more central to my life than that call other than the Lord himself. Because folks, as believers in Christ, no longer is our direction solely driven by what we think will make us happy, what will get us the most money or the most stuff. Instead, we're driven by what will bring honor and glory to God. And what's interesting is that what will bring honor and glory to God is also what will bring us the most fulfillment, the most joy even. Because as we walk with God daily, as we immerse ourselves in him, our eating, sleeping, going to work lives in him, what we'll find is that our will, our desires transform to match his. They transform to match his more perfect will. So I like vanilla ice cream pretty well. I don't know about any of you. It's simple. It's got just enough flavor to be pretty good. It's cold. Vanilla ice cream is a perfectly good dessert. It may not seem great on a day like today, but put yourself in the middle of July and you'll love yourself a scoop of vanilla ice cream. Now, imagine that you lived in a world where, as far as you knew, vanilla ice cream was the only dessert that existed. I'd be okay with that. Up until the day that I learned that apple pie existed. Because apple pie, my friends, is the perfect dessert. And you know what? Just as an aside, our daughter goes to Whitensville Christian School. They do this apple pie fundraiser. They figured out a way to perfect that apple pie. My word. I probably shouldn't put in a plug for you to go out and buy an apple pie for the school. But Sarah Bowler, here's the plug for you. Anyway, the fruitiness of the apples, the sweetness of the sugar contrasted by the cinnamon, the flakiness of the crust. With the Dutch apple pie they do at WCS, we're talking about the crumble on top. Apple pie is way better than vanilla ice cream. Again, it's the perfect dessert, and I may have said this before, there is no debate on that one. So we're going to just shut it down, and I'm on the screen and you're not, so I win. Anyway, before I make another terrible joke in succession, let's continue to move on. When we're talking about transformation of our will, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. The lifestyle we had, the trajectory we were on, it seemed really good at the time. But as we walk with God, as we truly center our lives, our family around Him, He'll take that vanilla ice cream world that we live in and He'll show us that apple pie exists. So when we talk about transformation of the will, we're not talking about a new direction we're going to hate and God forcing us to go somewhere and do something that will make us miserable and will make us long for the days when we had that old better thing. Instead, while we're still plowing through that vanilla ice cream, He's offering us apple pie. And as our will transforms, it does so in such a way that we realize that the path He has us on is much better for us than the path we were on. Does that mean we'll make more money? Not necessarily. Does that mean it will always be easy? No. Does it mean that everything will always go our way? Probably not. Does that mean we won't suffer for what He's got us doing? No, it doesn't. No, I'm sorry. What it does mean, though, is that His perfect will puts us on a path toward what He created us to be. And we'll find that there is nothing sweeter than walking in the will of God. And we'll find that as our desires come into focus and become compatible with His, ultimately, folks, this lifestyle leads us to a transformation of self. Everything about us changes when God is at the center of our lives. He transforms our minds. And as He transforms our minds, our will becomes compatible with His perfect will. Our desires fall in line with His desires. Our behavior changes. Galatians 5 tells us that now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Folks, our transformation causes us to embody these types of biblical virtues. We take off those old sinful things and we put on these new biblical virtues. We transform. This is the pattern. Big picture, as we follow God, as He moves us to the center, we will experience complete restoration and ultimately one day complete transformation. We are both restored to a right relationship with God and placed on a path as new creatures on our way to complete transformation, a transformation that will one day be completed in the kingdom. A.W. Tozer wrote, "For it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God Himself. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they are not the better for having heard the truth. The Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men into an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God, that they may enter into Him, that they might delight in His presence, may taste and know the inner sweetness of the very God Himself in the core and center of their hearts." Again, we'll do this stuff imperfectly. More than likely, we'll do it imperfectly our entire lives. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. But what we're talking about here is a faith that stretches beyond whatever knowledge and experiences you glean from your few hours spent here each week. It's a faith that permeates every aspect of our lives, that drives our lives at home with our families, where the mundane of every day becomes the sacred, and where we delight and experience God together as families in whatever form, each and every day we're together. Again, for it is not mere words that nourish the soul, but God Himself. And unless and until the hearers find God in personal experience, they're not the better for having heard the truth. It's that daily personal experience with God. That's the kind of faith that transforms. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your amazing presence with us here this morning. Thank you for your scriptures and the way that you use them in our lives. Lord, I just pray that all of us walk away from this time together a little bit more transformed, Lord, as your Spirit works so mightily through your word. Lord, guide us now as we continue to worship with our families and continue to spend time in fellowship and in relationship with them throughout the day. Lord, as this blizzard comes down, or the snow comes down, and as these cold temperatures continue, I ask that you keep people safe in their homes and help them, Lord, to be centered on you. Lord, for those who are out cleaning and preparing the roadways and things for us this morning, we pray that you would keep them safe, and we pray that you would work in and around these communities, Lord, that we would have opportunities, Lord, to bring this amazing transformative gospel to those who don't have it yet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your morning and your day together. I'd encourage you again to take a look at those videos that Jordan posted for us, that we would be able to, you'd be able to use those for some family worship time, and just invite you to do that, and just have a blessed day together as we continue to weather this storm. We'll see you hopefully next week.